Thank you, Bill, for reading, and Jeff for leading in those songs, and everyone for being here and being a part of our worship time this morning. We're going to take a break from the book of Genesis for this Sunday and next Sunday. Of course, next Sunday being our Imparting Faith seminar with Joel Singleton, and I want to encourage everyone to be praying about that. This morning in class time, we're going to do something a little bit different as well. Every member ministry, of course, you probably, if you've attended here for any amount of time, I began working with this congregation in October of 2002. Doesn't seem possible, but Jackson was 1 year old when we came, and we celebrated his 13th birthday just Friday. So time does have a way of marching forward, as they say. But you know, one of the things I vividly remember in the first part of my time here is that would be mentioned practically every Sunday, and in some form or fashion, whether in the lesson or just as a way of reminder, every member ministry. And that was just one of the things that defined Sunset, and that's something that still defines our congregation, but I don't know that we touch on it as much as we should, and I want to bring that back in our thoughts again a little bit this morning. Go ahead and turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a passage here that's very similar to what Bill read just a moment ago. And I want to do all this morning to try and focus our thoughts on what we can be doing as a body. And you will have a perfect opportunity to view some of the different things going on, some of the different ministries that are taking place back in our fellowship hall this morning during our class time. And not only during class time, but we'll leave it set up second service, and we want to leave it for this evening as well. So at some point during the day, preferably class time, because that's when we're going to have all of the booths manned and staffed with those who can give you information about the different ministries. But I counted this morning, and there are 29 booths set up. So a lot of information back there. I know Joe mentioned in his article in the bulletin, it's twofold. It's to give you information and to get you involved. And that's what I want to encourage, especially that second part of why we're doing this this morning, the idea of being involved. We're going to look a little closer here at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in just a moment. We looked at this study of Corinthians back in the summer of 13, and we looked at this very passage, but I thought it would do justice this morning to go back and once again revisit to try and help get our minds focused. And I want to encourage you this morning to stick around. Go back there. Look at those booths. Look at what's going on. Visit with the ministry leaders that are manning the booths. And figure out where you can fit in. Because that's what this is all about. Figuring out where we can fit in. Because we're all in this together. I've used this illustration before, but it works perfect. You've read the Peanuts cartoons over the years, and you may remember the one where Lucy comes in and she wants the remote control, or I don't remember if that day and age they had a remote or if they were still clicking. But anyway, she wanted to change channels, and Linus is watching the TV, and he says, "What do you think gives you the right to change the channel and just take over?" She held up, she said, "Well, it's these five fingers." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "Well, if you take these five fingers and do this, I have every right in the world." So Linus, of course, gives her control of the TV, and he walks out of the room looking at his five fingers of, "How come you all can't get organized like that?" And sometimes that's just it. It's a organization. We just don't always get organized like we need to. And this morning we're trying to bring some of that together to help out. But you know, in Romans that we looked at earlier, also 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and Colossians, Paul makes over 30 references to the church by using the analogy of the human body. And that's something that we can understand, something that we can relate to. We know what the human body is and how it works together. And Paul makes that comparison to the church compared to the human body. And through this analogy, he communicates the important truth of our need to accept our differences as individual members of the body of Christ and to recognize that the differences are vital to the proper functioning of the body. And if you think about that, so very true with the human body. such as the spiritual body. We have differences. We have different abilities. We have different things that we can and cannot do. And I think the point that Paul is trying to make here, especially in this 1 Corinthians passage, is very simple. Three words: I need you. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. And I don't want to oversimplify it, yet at the same time, that's basically what he's saying. Whatever you can do, whatever you can contribute, whatever you can use your abilities to do, I need that. I need that ability, and that's what it's going to take. God needs that. Well, God doesn't need that. We do all this to glorify God. God wants that. Let's go back and read, beginning there at verse 12. And I want to take just a moment to read this. It's a familiar passage, but it'll kind of get us thinking in this direction. There are really three principles that I want to share with you this morning from this passage. Starting there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at verse 12, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Reading through verse 27. We understand that. The foot can't say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong." The feet's what got us here this morning. The hand's what opened the door to help us get on through. The eyes are what led us here this morning. The ears were what kept us from pulling out in oncoming traffic. A lot of things going together to help us be here where we're at this morning in this physical body. I think the first thing that Paul is saying, and three things that I want to just touch on here briefly this morning. Number one, each member is essential, which means crucial, invaluable, indispensable. In other words, you are the key to the whole situation. And that brings it down to a personal level, does it not? You're the key to the whole situation. You're critical to this body. You're indispensable. You're crucial. You're part of it. This hand is important. This eye is important. Sees and helps this hand move where it needs to. Each part must be present in order for the body to be complete. For the sake of argument this morning, if it were possible for a body to be made up of only one part, then it would be an extremely limited body, would it not? It would miss out on all the functionality and the potential of all the other parts. We're given eyes to see, ears to hear, hands to touch, noses to smell. The various parts of our human bodies contribute to the whole in a very unique and distinguished way. The functionality of this body is up to you. It's up to me. And I think that's what brings it home. That's what we need to realize. That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, if we want to use that term. Sometimes we like to point fingers, and we're not always good at accepting responsibility. Sometimes we go the other direction. We say, well, it wasn't my fault. Look what happened over here. You know, we used the Peanuts cartoon there earlier. You may have remembered also the little episode where Snoopy broke his left leg. And he was receiving these letters of sympathy. And he even began one day to sort of just think through the whole situation that he was in while he was perched on the top of his doghouse. And as he looked at the white cast there on his left leg, he says, my body blames my foot for not being able to go places. My foot says that it was my head's fault, and my head blamed my eyes. My eyes say my feet are clumsy, and my right foot says not to blame him, for it's what the left foot did. And then he looks out at the audience and he confesses, I didn't say anything because I don't want to get involved. Sometimes that's what we find ourselves in. We're just say, I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to be a part of it. It's crucial that each member does its part. When we say each member, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm not talented in an area. I'm just not that blessed in an area. God has blessed you with life. If you're able to be here this morning, you're able to do something. If you're able to be here this morning, you're able to encourage. You're able to be a part of a ministry. And we have ministries back there that range from basically A to Z, whatever level, but we want each member to be a part. God has made us all different and unique. Each part must be willing to perform its own function to seek that the whole body moves. Remember Paul saying here, I need you. I think another thing that he brings out, that each member is interdependent, meaning we are mutually dependent on one another. You know, this hand doesn't just run off 20 feet and do its own thing. It's right here. It only goes this far. And this one can only go this far. We're connected. We're interdependent and need one another to get along. You know, without the cooperative and corporate participation of the various parts of our human body, many, if not all, of the vital tasks would be impossible. And I think sometimes we take our body for granted. I know that I do. But take, for example, the simple act of speaking, like I'm doing right now. What's involved? You may say, well, you're fluctuating your voice. You're sending air through your voice, and then my ear is able to pick that up. But speech is possible only when the brain, the nerves, the tongue, the jaw, the lips, the larynx, the lungs, the diaphragm, which brings it all up, the heart, the veins, the arteries, the capillaries, you could go on and on and on. I'm definitely not a scientist. Don't know all the parts of the body. But I know all of those are involved in getting speech from a mouth. So it takes each part working independently and then working together. Kenneth Chafin wrote several commentaries and wrote one here on 1 Corinthians. And he writes, all the pictures of the church are group pictures. The more mature we become in Christ, the more we realize that throughout our entire life, we will continue to need each other. And I think we do realize that as we grow, as we mature, we continue to need one another more and more, and we so often think we can do it on our own, and we sort of grow up with that mentality. But I think as we age, as we mature, we realize we do need one another. Is your little area being lit as a part of this body? You know, there was a certain mountain village in Europe, and this was several centuries ago, and a nobleman wondered what legacy he could leave to the townspeople, so he decided to build a building so that the church could meet there. No one saw the complete plans for the church until it was finished, and when they gathered, they were marveled at its beauty and completeness. But then someone asked, well, what about the lamps? How will they be lit? The nobleman pointed to some brackets in the walls. Then he gave each family a lamp that they would bring with them each time they came to worship. And then he said, each time you're here, the area where you're seated will be lighted. But each time you're not here, that area will be dark. Is your area being lit this morning, so to speak? You know, it is odd. And as we come together Sunday after Sunday, we tend to set in our normal spots. And someone will say, is so-and-so here? And I'll say, well, let me look, because I know they're usually sitting right there. And if Bill wasn't there this morning, I'd miss him. So, let's take that to the next level. Is our part being lit? Or is it dark this morning? God has placed us here in a strategic role. We're each an important part of the successfulness and effectiveness of this body. And just as he mentioned there in our reading, there are no small parts. There are no indispensable parts, and those that seem less important, God will magnify. God will bring light. Remember, I need you. And then a third thing I think that Paul is bringing out in this passage this morning. Each member is interconnected, which means that we're actually addicted to one another. You know, we don't like to use that word addicted because so often it brings forth the connotation of drugs or alcohol or something that we're not to be addicted to. But if you look it up, it's not a bad word. It simply means enthusiastically devoted to a particular thing or activity. Are we addicted to one another? Or do we do this sort of a sideline? Is this just a sideline of our life? This should be the central focus. This should be the central theme, the central part of our life. Yes, we come together once, maybe twice a week. We're a body that functions each and every day, and we're interconnected with one another. You know, an example of that, you don't give much thought to your little toe, do you? Your pinky? As you put your socks on every morning or whatever you might be putting on, the shoes, you don't think about that toe. You may not even realize it's there. You may want to check here after church to see if it is still there. And it is, I guarantee you. But we don't give much thought to it until we're running around the house barefoot and stub that toe, don't we? Then what happens? Each part begins to do something. That hand reaches down to massage that toe. That back will bend over so that that hand can reach that toe. We know that it's there. We feel that it's there. We feel the pain. We read that verse in verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Back up to verse 13, it says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." We are interconnected. We have that commonality. We have that one thing that brings us together. That's the blood of Christ. Romans 12:5. "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We are interconnected to one another. We must share in the experiences of one another. Get to know the various parts. Don't just spend all of our time with certain parts. And that's why something like this morning is so good. You can see some of the things maybe that you don't know that are taking place here within this body. It'll be informative. It'll be a way that you can participate. So this morning, please take time during our class. Those booths are set up. People have put time into doing those. They're going to share that information with you. We want this to be a growing experience, one that each and every part can benefit from. Because what were the three words we say Paul is trying to get across here? I need you. And that's part of it. That you is each and every one of us. You're probably familiar with a guy named Aesop. You've heard the Aesop fables or fables of Aesop. I want to share with you one this morning in closing. It's called The Fable of the Belly. And it goes like this. One day it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work while the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting, presumably without the belly, and after a long discussion decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a couple of days, the members began to find that they themselves were not in a very active condition. The hands could hardly move. The mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest of the body. Thus they found that even the belly, in its dull, quiet way, was doing necessary work for the body, and that all must work together or the body will go to pieces. And that's so true. We each work in our own way, some more visible than others. But we each have our part to do. I want to ask that you commit yourself to take the next step in connecting to this body. Whatever that may be, it may be going back and finding out information, finding out where you could be more involved, or sharing the information you may be involved in. You may be manning one of those booths this morning. And thank you for doing that. But the question I leave with you this morning is, have you found your place? It doesn't always have to be a big part, but you can serve. You can do that part. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you now. We're just so thankful for this body of believers that has gathered here this morning. We're just so thankful for the commonality that brings us together. We're so thankful for the forgiveness that we've received as Christians because of the blood of Christ. And we realize that we are parts of a body, and we just pray that you would help us each do our part. Help us each take that active role. Help us each find our place in that body. Thank you so much for those that have worked to put this ministry fair together for today. I just pray that the efforts will be fruitful in all that we do, and that your name will be glorified in all that we do. That is our hope, our desire, and our ultimate goal, is to glorify you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's through your Son I pray. Amen. I want to leave you with one passage this morning, simple passage found over in Mark chapter 15. Mark the 15th chapter. We talk about doing our part. We have a Savior that obviously set an example in doing that. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this, his cry, and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. That was his part. Our part's not that big, is it? But important. That's what I want to encourage you this morning. Don't know what your need is. You may not have put on Christ through baptism. You may not be a part of this body yet. What a wonderful morning to do that. I'd love to see that happen this morning. Many of you here this morning are Christians. Maybe you'd just like to simply rededicate your life this morning. One of our shepherds will lead a prayer on your behalf. What a wonderful way to start this week. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?